Welcome to month 4, week 1 of the School of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is our constant, abiding companion. And we've come to know the Holy Spirit personally, haven't we? We've experienced what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've learned how to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And now we need to learn how to live in the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. And this whole month we're going to devote to how to grow in the Spirit. Today's focus verse is Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13:15 says this: "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name." Boy, if there's anything charismatics are known for, it's praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glorifying and praising God with our lips. This week, we're going to take a look in the school at the charismatic renewal. And I'd like to give you a little history of the renewal. It begins all the way back in 1895, surprisingly, on April 17th, when the founder of the Oblate Sisters of the Holy Spirit, that's Mother Elena Guerra, began sending 11 confidential letters to Pope Leo XIII, urging him to lead the church to the upper room, to return to the upper room, the room where the Holy Spirit fell on the church on the day of Pentecost. You've been to that upper room. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mother Elena had devoted her whole life to the Holy Spirit and reminding the church of the person of the Holy Spirit and inviting the church to return to the room where Pentecost occurred. And she called that room the Jerusalem Cenacle, or the upper room. You know, Mother Elena did not cease saying over and over that, here's a quote from her, "Pentecost is not over. In fact, it is continually going on in every time and in every place, because the Holy Spirit desired to give himself to all men, and all who want him can always receive him. So we do not have to envy the apostles and the first believers. We only have to dispose ourselves like them to receive him well. And he will come to us as he did to them." That is so true. I hope this isn't prideful, but I don't envy the apostles, because it's true what Mother Elena said. He will come to us as he did to them. And I hope you've had that experience of the Holy Spirit coming to you. You know, in her many writings to the pontiff, she exhorted him to invite the faithful to rediscover life lived according to the Holy Spirit. Life in the Spirit. She called and prayed for a renewal of the church, the reunion of Christianity, a renewal of society, and therefore a renewal of the face of the earth. Now, imagine if you're Pope, how many letters you get from people. You know, but he took these 11 letters from her serious. So serious that he wrote an apostolic letter on the Holy Spirit, and then he ended up writing an encyclical on the Holy Spirit. And Mother Elena just really influenced the Holy Father, to the point she asked Holy Father to speak to the church and asked the church to commit that from Ascension Thursday until Pentecost Sunday, that the church would make a novena. Novena means 9 days of prayer. And the first novena was the apostles in the upper room. Lord Jesus rose from the dead, you know, ascension. He was with us for 40 days, then he ascended to heaven. Pentecost is 50 days after Easter, so there was 10 days. And for 9 days, the apostles prayed, and on the 10th day, the Holy Spirit came. So the Pope sent out this letter in 1895, asking all the believers throughout the world to make a novena to the Holy Spirit for a new Pentecost. Well, I'm sorry to say, didn't happen. The church didn't respond. And then on January 1st, 1901, Pope Leo again, inspired by Mother Elena, he stood at the foot of the window of the Holy Spirit behind the main altar in St. Peter's Basilica. Now, have you ever seen that? It's beautiful. It's a picture of a dove. Beautiful. And there's these rays coming out from the dove, and it's orange around the dove. Maybe you've seen that beautiful window in the Vatican there. And he stood there again. This is very important, the date, January 1st, 1901. He stood there And he sang that old hymn. You've heard it before. Come, Holy Ghost, Creator, bless. And in our hearts, take up thy rest. Come with thy grace and heavenly aid to fill the hearts which thou hast made. He stood there before that beautiful window, singing to the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to come and to fill the church. Now, this is really interesting, if you ask me. I don't think what I'm about to share with you is coincidence. January 1st, 1901, right? On January 1st, 1901, in Topeka, Kansas, at 11 p.m., at the same time as the Holy Father was standing there singing that song and dedicating the world to the Holy Spirit, a group of believers gathered in Stone's Folly Mansion in Topeka, Kansas, with a Methodist minister, Charles Parham, and there were 9 other believers, and they were praying that the Holy Spirit would come to them like he came to the apostles. There was a woman there named Agnes Osman, and she asked the other believers right before 11 o'clock to lay hands on her and to pray over her. And as they did, Agnes broke out into the gift of tongues. So I want you to make sure you got this down. 1901, January 1st, Rome, the Pope's praying for the Holy Spirit to come. January 1st, 1901, Kansas, the Holy Spirit comes. And the Pentecostal renewal of the church began. You know one of the things that Lord Jesus said to Mother Elena? He said to her that if the church did not make this novena, that he would find a people that would. That if the church would not open its heart to receive the Holy Spirit, he would find a people that would. You see, Jesus wanted to start the whole charismatic outpouring Pentecost renewal of the church in the Catholic Church. But we didn't do it. So he found a people that did. Now, from 1901, the movement spread. It went all the way to Wales, where over 100,000 people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this is called the Welsh Revival. And then in 1906, in Los Angeles, at the Apostolic Faith Mission, William Seymour, a former slave, began to preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God fell on this church. And this church was located on Azusa Street in Los Angeles. And it's through Azusa Street and the revival that happened there that missionaries went forth to share Pentecost with the rest of the world. And that's called the Azusa Street Revival. Change church history. William Seymour. That's 1906. Now we jump to 1958. Pope Pius has just died. After 19 years of being pope, the cardinals came together in conclave to elect the new pope, and honestly, they just couldn't figure out who the next pope should be. So they thought, you know what, let's just have a stopgap here. Let's elect somebody that just will be pope for a short term. And this is how they did it. This is the truth. This is history. They looked around the room. They found a really nice guy. They found a guy that was old and he was out of shape. He was fat. And his name was Cardinal Roncalli. This is the truth. They elected him because they knew that he would do no harm. Everybody just liked this guy. And he wouldn't live that long, you know, because he was old and fat. Well, they thought that he would come in and, you know, just be kind of like a figurehead and keep the church going. Upon election, Pope John the 23rd said, this church needs a breath of fresh air. He literally went over and opened up the window and said that. This church needs a breath of fresh air. And he convened the Vatican II Council. which began a renewal in the church. And this is what he prayed in preparation for the council. John the 23rd, renew your wonders in this our day as by a new Pentecost. The Pope was praying for a new Pentecost. And do you know who the first person was that he beatified? Mother Elena Guerra, whom he called the Apostle of the Holy Spirit. See, you have to go all the way back to 1895 that God was stirring and doing something. And then it happened on February in 1967. At a bunch of some students from Duquesne University, students and faculty members, came together at the Ark and Dove Retreat Center, just right outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And they came together, these Catholics came together, to pray for a new Pentecost in the church. And the Holy Spirit fell, and they began to speak in tongues. And it was from this group it spread to Notre Dame, and it spread throughout the world in the Catholic Church. Now, in the Catholic Church, over 167 million have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You're one of those people. The Charismatic Renewal is the largest movement in the Catholic Church. You're just probably not aware of it. For example, in Africa, I have priest friends that are from Africa, and it is normal in Africa to use the charismatic gifts. It is normal to sing and dance and praise the Lord for a mass that's 3 hours long in Africa. We know of a priest in Africa that spends his day praying over people for healing, and they get healed. Down in South America, they'll have gatherings, charismatic prayer meetings, every week, where there's so many people that they have to rent out soccer stadiums. Over 30,000 will turn up for these prayer meetings. Now, you're probably, if you're listening to this, I'm very aware that this is probably just the people in the United States that are hearing this. We look around and we say, I don't see that. But in the church, the charismatic renewal is huge, and it's growing. And you know what? I prophesy to you that it's going to take off again in the United States. Let me go through some of the hallmarks of the renewal. Some of the things that I think that just really makes the renewal stand out, the charismatic renewal. You know what? Wait, before I talk about the hallmarks, let me stop and talk about that it's a renewal, the charismatic renewal. Now, this is a Brendanism that I'm going to share with you right now. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not about the charismatic renewal. I mean, about the charismatic movement. I'm about the charismatic renewal. Now, what's the difference between renewal and movement? Okay, we have renewal movements. We have movements called, for example, Crucio, Christ Renews His Parish, Neo-Catechumenal Way. We have Benedictine spirituality. We have Franciscan spirituality. We have communion and liberation. We have all these beautiful movements in the church that help people to come to know Jesus Christ and to grow in their faith and to help them move from their faith being exterior to interior, that helps them to come to a place where they own their faith. They're all beautiful. And I want to encourage you to be involved in the movements. But you see, here's the thing about the movements, is certain people are called to certain movements. You know, that's the beauty of Catholicism, is here comes everybody. And there's a different movement for you and your personality, what you're looking for in life. There's a movement out there for you in the church. It's one of the great things that happened with Vatican II. But the charismatic renewal is not a movement. A movement is just for a few people, these people over here. The renewal is for everybody. Pentecost is for everybody. You see, in the early church, there wasn't the Catholic Church, and then those people who gathered on Tuesday night, you know, those tongue-talking people over there, you know, those are the charismatics in the church. You know, the apostles, you know, John goes to that charismatic prayer group, but me, Thomas, I'm more intellectual. I'm not into it. But that's fine for Thomas. No, the entire church was baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, here's the thing. Is the charismatic renewal is for everyone. Pentecost is for everyone in the church. And then you take that experience of the Holy Spirit into the renewal movements. You see, does that make sense? Okay, now let's talk about the hallmarks of the charismatic renewal. Number one is, what does the charismatic renewal offer people? It's number one, above everything, it offers a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know that 65% of Catholics don't believe that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus? When you hear charismatics talk about Jesus, they talk about him like they know him or something. And guess what? They do know him. I know him. And I hope you know him. So number one is the gift the charismatic renewal brings to the church is the gift of knowing Jesus and loving Jesus. Number two is charismatics love each other. They love being together. They love fellowship. You know, in the charismatic renewal, you'll find people that that will love you and be with you in life. A lot of times you can go to church and go home and nobody would notice if you were there or not. That's not going to happen at a prayer meeting. You're going to get loved on, as I say. Number three is, I think one of the hallmarks of the charismatic renewal is a great love for the Word of God. And people, I've heard this over the years. They say, you know, before I was baptized, I'd read the Bible and I'd go in one eye and out the other and I didn't know what it was talking about. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it made sense all of a sudden. It was like it was written for me. It was like it was speaking to me. So another hallmark is a love for the Word of God. Another hallmark of the charismatic renewal is evangelization. The charismatic renewal is very evangelical. Excuse me. The charismatic renewal is about leading people to Jesus Christ so that they meet Jesus. And then lastly, I'm sure there's other hallmarks we can talk about, but one of the great hallmarks, I think, of the charismatic renewal is joy. Joy. You know, when you meet Jesus and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're just filled with joy. And you know what? Remember the apostles on the day of Pentecost? What did the people say about them? They said they've had too much wine. They look drunk. You know what? I've been to charismatic meetings where people look drunk. They're drunk with joy. Joy. You know, if you want a somber face, if you want a somber saint, don't go around charismatics. Because we want joy. We want more of the Lord. So there's some hallmarks. Now let me tell you about some of the things that happen in the charismatic renewal. The charismatic renewal has what's called the Life in the Spirit Seminar, or the LSS, the Life in the Spirit Seminar. This seminar is 7 weeks long, and it's to lead people to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to teach them the beginnings of how to receive, how to live in the Holy Spirit. Usually there's worship, there's a biblical-centered teaching, and then there's a testimony that's shared. And then in week five, they pray over you for empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you, since you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to look into the Life in the Spirit seminar and maybe getting one of those going at your church to lead others to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're listening to right now the School of the Holy Spirit, and its goal is to lead you to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like a Life in the Spirit seminar, but I wanted to go a little bit deeper with it, a little bit bigger. Not deeper, a little bit bigger. So there's that. Now, so there's Life in the Spirit seminar. Another expression in the charismatic renewal is prayer meetings. And I'm going to talk about prayer meetings. It is the heart of the charismatic renewal. Prayer meetings. In month 4, week 3, I'm going to cover prayer meetings. I'm going to cover what a prayer meeting is and how you can get more out of a prayer meeting and how you can come to a prayer meeting and really enter into a prayer meeting. So the big thing that the charismatic renewal offers to people is the Life in the Spirit seminar and the daily prayer meetings. There's also one more expression called covenant communities. And covenant communities are these people who have been together in prayer for years. They've been in a prayer meeting and they just say, I want more. And they realize that they've fallen in love with the Lord Jesus, and they've fallen in love with each other. And these covenant communities, they're called, is they make formal commitments to each other to help each other live out the life in the Holy Spirit. And down the road, that might be something that you want to think about is, yes, going Life in the Spirit seminars, yes, prayer meetings, but then going deeper and saying, I want to enter into covenant with other believers who seriously want to live this out. Okay, it's time for me to close this teaching. I want to read to you something from Pope John Paul II. He said this on Saturday, May 29th, 2004. You know, we started with Mother Elena, excuse me again, and her call to return to the upper room. I want you to hear what Holy Father had to say. Say, I greet in a special way the members of the Renewal in the Spirit, one of the various branches of the great family of the Charismatic Movement. Thanks to the Charismatic Movement, a multitude of Christian men and women, young people and adults have rediscovered Pentecost as a living reality in their daily lives. I hope that the spirituality of Pentecost will spread in the Church as a renewed incentive to prayer, holiness, communion, proclamation. In this regard, I encourage the initiative known as Burning Bush, promoted by Renewal in the Spirit. It's about incessant adoration day and night before the Blessed Sacrament. It is an invitation to the faithful to return to the upper room, so that united in contemplation of the Eucharistic mystery, they may intercede for full Christian unity, for the conversion of sinners. I warmly hope that this initiative will lead many to rediscover the gifts of the Spirit, whose original source is Pentecost. And this is what he prayed. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle them the fire of your love. Though the people spoke in different tongues, united them in proclaiming the same faith. Alleluia. Now, take this renewal that you've experienced to others.